Buy Ronaldo, sweet, sweet Ronaldo, code, code Ronaldo, Ronaldo for sale. Is Ronaldo sweet, though? That's probably what Cristiano Ronaldo's agent should be doing right now, because he keeps trying to get him, you know, in the face of other clubs. And they're saying, no, we do not want Ronaldo. Yes, we accept that he is a class player and he's a fantastic scorer and would add value to the team, but we do not want to change our style of play just to suit him. Who knows? We might just get him this time around, or will he remain at Manchester United? If you ask me, who I go ask? Alright, you welcome to another episode of Strictly Sports. I've got Emile in the building, and I've got Aka Chukwu.
You can already hear us laughing because this is actually so funny. Ronaldo said that Ronaldo is up for sale. He has put himself up for sale, at least based on rumors. And you know there's no smoke without fire. Although Ten Hag, coach of Manchester United, is saying, nah lie, we know what's going on. Ronaldo is very important to me. But you know now, at least when you're hearing things around, everybody should be coming out to say, okay, we are interested in him. Ronaldo is this. Tuchel has denied. Nah, we don't want to buy Ronaldo.
Yes. Oliver,
what did they call him? The other guys at Bayern Munich are saying, we don't want to buy this guy as well. Everybody is turning him down. So they're saying, buy Ronaldo, sweet, sweet Ronaldo. And they're saying, no, I don't want to buy Ronaldo.
But can I say something?
Sure. Say something.
I think you guys are like extremely disrespectful to like one of the greatest players of all time. So, for what's happening here, and I don't think you can fault him either. So, like Manchester United didn't qualify for the Champions League. Ronaldo is not a Europa League player. Like, however you want to look at it, Cristiano Ronaldo is not a Europa League player. So while there's that emotion that, oh, he's a Manchester United player, like fans love him, this is like kind of his home, and he should stay, I would totally understand why he would try to seek out Champions League football. Yeah. Although, like, in the same vein, I would also understand why some clubs don't want to sign him. Like, Bayern, the way you said it, Bayern even said, like, oh, this guy is a quality guy, but the project we're embarking on right now, like, he's not really what we are kind of looking for. Like, so that's why they said they are not getting him. Chelsea, I would understand, like, the dynamics after everything that happened with Lukaku last season. I don't think, like, Tuchel doesn't want to take that risk. So I understand. I think he'll end up staying at Manchester United. And like the way everybody's talking about the team and how they are doing, we'll come to that later. But like the cherry on the cake, the icing on the cake is Cristiano Ronaldo. Because that's what is going to make Manchester United a serious team. You have this kind of gameplay or whatever, and you have a striker like Chris. That's why Ten Hag, my fans are saying, Emile has been saying, oh, we should get out. We don't want him if he doesn't want to stay. But then look at what Ten Hag is saying. Ten Hag knows that he needs... You can't go into a season with Martial and Rashford and as your strikers. It's not possible. You need, like, if you want to be a serious team, you need him.
No.
John, make I cook.
You go cook.
I'm done. Go ahead.
Okay, start. That's Gazi.
I go burn this food. Ronaldo is a very useless legend. Take it from me. He's a very useless human being. My pain with all these guys is that they are quick to forget. Una, they talk say Ronaldo don't big pass Champions League. I get. But when in this sporting, was he not playing Europa? Like, let's just call it what it is. Look, I'm a realist. I understand. I'm not blind to the fact that Ronaldo is a goal scorer, but I also know that he's aging. He's going to be 38 soon. You get? There are very few clubs that are willing to take that gamble. It's not that they don't know the numbers he would bring in, but you're bringing in a 38-year-old and you most likely have a younger striker on the bench. Are you willing to ruin the dynamics of your team for a year or two? This is the same thing that they were criticizing Ole about. Like, man, you signed Ronaldo because of legend and emotions and all that stuff. Panic signing. We didn't plan. If he didn't leave Juve, there was no way we were going to try to bring him in. Do you get? So he comes in. What I'm thinking is, if there was a contract, like a clause in his contract that if Man U does not qualify for Europa, he would leave. He would seek challenge elsewhere. I will understand. And if that clause is there, Man U will not be saying they are not willing to let him go. Do you get? They are saying they are not willing to let him go. They still have plans for him. Ronaldo and his agent are the ones forcing themselves on other people. When you force yourself on people, it's a crime. Oh. People, they go gym for this thing. they stop people peace. For what? Like, what is your problem? Look.
You have a point, but I'm just saying, like, over the years, like, what he has done over the years.
Yes.
Yeah? He has earned the right to try. If it doesn't work, sure, he'll come back and join you guys preseason and be your best player in this season. But like, he has the right to try.
But are you looking at what the consequences of this action? Because the players are there, apart from the new signings that can make the preseason, the other players are there gelling. I understand that some rules set down by Ten Hag is supposed to improve team chemistry even off the pitch. No phone in the cafeteria when they are eating, so they will have time to talk to themselves and all that stuff. But Ronaldo is somewhere in bush, gymming, posting pictures for no reason. It's not that he's sick.
I think United like gave him the time off, like to do whatever he wants to do, and then
we'll see, Sha. If he comes back, I will appreciate him. That's one thing. I'm a very giving person. But for now, he's in pot and I must cook him. I'm not happy with what he's doing.
It's quite interesting. Yeah. But let's talk about Manchester United, how good they are. They are, at least they have been so good this preseason. And you know, sometimes some people will say, not just preseason. Now from which is the coders? She's not from play handshake. Sabina from. I don't know how what I say this, but exactly. Now from club dancing, they start by hair, exactly. Yeah. So now we're looking at it and they're saying it's just preseason. They already get, you know, there's this form of confidence that comes from preseason. You're already understanding yourselves and you're like, we are winning. And so I was like, it's preseason. We're like, yeah, but the season has now started. Why don't we just continue in that particular winning spirit? Manchester United looks like they're beginning to look like a team to reckon with, at least. You know, with what do they call him? Sir Fred Chipping Alisson, his fellow countryman. You know, so it all depends. And look at what they did to Crystal Palace. The goal that was scored by who was the person that was assisted by Van de Beek?
Rashford.
That was a very well taken goal. You know, a goal that had teamwork. What are your thoughts on Manchester? Let me start with Aka before I come to Emile, who is a Manchester.
No, United. I think Emile, I've watched them. Emile has watched three games. I watched them against Liverpool and what was the second game? Okay, I think I watched the highlights of the second game. So I'm just going to, I just think generally you can see the difference. Like in the end, with the best managers in the world, the managers that are really good, that have quality, what you notice most about them immediately is their style of play. Like, it's so easy to see. It's extreme. You can see it by how they play. I was shocked, like, the way they played against Liverpool. Like, it's preseason, but nobody wants to lose. Like, that's just the truth. Nobody wants to lose in preseason. You can see the way they play. Like, they're playing out of the back. They're confident. They're stringing passes. Even De Gea, like, David De Gea, that is terrible with his feet. He was giving, like, some kind of passes to his... So he's full back. I'm really impressed, I must say. I think they're on the right path. I think Ten Hag was always a good choice. Like, he's a coach. He coached the team. Like, he bring, like, his tactics, his philosophy, everything. And even the young players, you can already see they're playing with freedom. They're, like, playing with confidence. So, like, I'm really happy for them. And you can see that there's kind of a structure to the team already. Defensively, like... But, like you said, it's early days. It's early days, but you want to win early days. I'm not saying I expect them to go and challenge for the champ, for the Premier League, but I expect them to be a really good team. Like, I'm really impressed. Emile, what do you think? Like, what has stood out for you in this preseason, like, three games you've seen? And which players, like, should we be looking out for?
Okay. First of all, the only thing that I like about the new coach is he knows what he wants. And he's direct. I'm not talking about the style of play. I'm talking about the recruitment, like signing players. He went for this Simba guy. And after Van Gaal shit for church, normally, na shit him be. After he finished, they do that one. The guy for the next best ability. So, and then he has been on this Frankie transfer for so long. What me I know is if Frankie doesn't have personal agreements with him, man, you would have just put help. Because there's this is it Brombie or be something, this Ajax, new Ajax striker, man, you went for him, but he called Ten Hag and said he wants to come to man, he want, he prefers Ajax, and then we stop. You get he directed signing, and which is one thing that I'm tired of coaches complaining, especially after they've sacked them, leaking information that they didn't want this player. They signed them for it. You get that was the excuse Ole was giving for what is his name? Van der Beek. That Van der Beek was not his signing. So that was why the guy was languishing on bench. So I want coaches that would take action, like you sign player, let's see how the player fits into your plan. And that is the only thing that for now I'm happy about with Ten Hag, because this Malaysia guy, you can see how he's different from Luke Shaw. The first goal, with the way, you know how Liverpool span crosses from Trent Arnold to Robo just to switch attack when he's not working. That was exactly what the Malaysia guy did. And you can swear that in 20 matches, Luke Shaw will not do that because he had to use his right foot. You know how Luke Shaw does not like his right foot. He has to use his right foot to switch the cross to Dalot. And that was how the game goal came about. So that is one thing I've seen. And then he's very vocal. Ain't no they appreciate rubbish. I think second half, they get slipped up, reversed to his only days. I don't know who thought in that rubbish. They were pressing him instead of to pass out from back to someone closer, reduce the risk. The guy balloon him inside. And you could hear the guy from the touchline, like in the para for the guy, like, what are you doing? You get. So you know he has a pattern he wants them to play, and he's keen on it. Like, if you make mistakes, he will call you out. Gone are the days where this fridge, Maguire will do rubbish. And they go reward them the next week to do more rubbish. Ingo do another one. They go reward them with two international games. I'm tired. I want a coach that, look, you're not doing well. Sit this one out. You're doing well. This is your mistake. You get. I'm not going to be carried away by the scoreline. Crystal Palace, they were slow. I don't think they are going to play like this in Premier League. Premier League has a kind of ginger that comes with it. Same with Liverpool, were just allowing us to flex. The serious person there was Diaz. Salah not to show himself. But when Premier League comes in, the intensity is going to be different. The main thing is, I just hope he continues with this tactics. Like, he knows what he wants and he continues that way until they gain their fitness back. But for Mukesha, I see the watcher. You get it.
Yeah. One person I'm really impressed with is Eric Bailly. I like the fact that his confidence is back and he's been able to drive from the back and has been giving some very deadly passes. You know, in the game against Liverpool, the one where the pass that he, the move that he started, that led to the goal from what's the name of that young guy?
Pelestri.
Yeah, from Amadiello. Exactly.
Pelestri.
So yeah, Amadiello, you know, turning what do they call our guy? And then Pelestri scoring. And then Eric Bailly, another crazy move as well, giving a forward pass to Rashford, which turned out to be an assist for Rashford's goal. That was prior to this one against Crystal Palace. So there are just so many players who have, you know, the thing is, when a new coach comes, some players they continue being, while other players they see it as a new chapter, a clean start, and they're able to, for those who have lost their places, maybe due to lack of fitness or lack of form, they're able to step it up and, you know, reclaim their place. If Bay is fit, for me, he'll be one of the defence for Manchester United. That's assuming he's fit. And United has already brought in Lisandro Martinez, you know, another fine defender. So they're actually doing the business too on a key level, but they're actually doing good business. And then Arsenal, you know, getting Oleksandr Zinchenko. That's an interesting one. You know, someone went ahead to say, you know, one of these Twitter influencers, the one is an Arsenal fan, and he went ahead to brag and was like, Arsenal are pulling, you know, even without promise of Champions League football, they are pulling the best from the champions of England and stuff like that. And someone was like, see, claiming that these players are so and so. But these are players who even starters when they are put, there's no recognized left back in Manchester City, but Zinchenko was not even starting. There's no recognized striker in Manchester City, and Jesus was not even starting. No, and the person trying to brag as if they went to collect first team players from Guardiola. Somebody were to get for Barcelona that are chasing Bernardo.
But John, sorry to interrupt you.
Let me make something, a statement. Just one. If Barcelona, for example, they are chasing Bernardo Silva, but to get Bernardo Silva, Barcelona can now brag, we've been carrying one person who is very important to City. Because Bernardo Silva is on the team list. That's an example I've just used.
Okay, so when you say very important, it doesn't need to be very important to City to be very useful to Arsenal. Like, his top quality without a doubt. Top quality. So, like,
you remember
signing for them. What I wanted to say was that you wanted him, John. Chelsea wanted him. Even Peter said it, you wanted him. And now because you didn't get him, you're banting him.
Stop bragging. You don't understand. It's like when Arsenal fans got Welbeck. If Chelsea had gotten Welbeck that time, I'll be happy, I'll be going Welbeck. But it's not like I'll be like laughing at my...
What you don't think is not fair, Shaq. Jesus and Welbeck, John Harper.
This is an example. Can you remember when Arsenal got Welbeck from Man U? Can you remember how excited they were? I actually was an Arsenal fan then. I think...
that guy was never a good player. There was no point in his career where he was a quality player. He was just like a hard worker, but it's fine. Yeah, like he's a good guy to have in your squad, Sha.
I get what John is saying, but what you have to understand is if this kind of behavior they are highlighted during the transfer season, that is when you see people switching up and down. When Peter the cast Ronaldo, all of us did it. When Peter the talk say he go like me Chelsea sign up because of returns on the franchise, the same franchise where you shit on. You get this kind of mixed emotions during transfers. I remember when Man U signed Van Persie. Before then, I hate Van Persie, God. Like, I go to watch Man U Arsenal. This year, I go to troubles. But the season, we just signed him. Almost, it was like, you know when players will come out and say, it has been my dream to play in Chinese league. Chinese league that you didn't even know that existed. So... that is what happens. Your team can just sign one mediocre guy And all of a sudden, you are just filled with these emotions, and you are like, oh, well, this is the best thing
true,
that's ever happened.
True. But generally, we talked about United, Arsenal. I think I'm kind of like, they've had a really good transfer window. So Saliba is back here. They got Vieira. They got Jesus. They got Nketiah to sign a new contract. So
Zinchenko John.
Yeah, they got that Brazilian guy. I don't remember his name, but he's a young guy. He's like 18 or something. So they got him. He's like a winger kind of player. So I think they've strengthened. Zinchenko is about to complete as at when we're recording this podcast. So they've strengthened their left back, that was a weakness. They have strengthened their central defense, that was kind of a weakness. You had Gabriel and White, who are like trustworthy, but after Gabriel and White, like holding. Pablo Mari. Yeah. So now you have Gabriel, you have Ben White, you have William Saliba, who I think like is an extremely quality player. So you have Xhaka, you have Partey, and then he's still there. This young guy now, what's his name? That black guy.
Switch.
In midfield. Central midfielder. No.
What is he called? Lokonga. Sambi.
Yeah,
Lokonga.
Lokonga should have a better season. And then attacking midfield that they had just, say, Odegaard. Now they have Fabio Vieira, who is also very creative and has end product. And they've added, like, a very good striker that is perfect for Mikel Arteta's game. Like, even if some people would say, he presses like a demon, and that's exactly how Arsenal play. Press young guys pressing you from the front like mad, counter, all of them are fast. So like I think they've had a really good window, and I think they'll be like really really dangerous. Like if I don't know, Sha, I don't want to over project, but they could, those teams fighting for third place, I guess, like they could be in and around there.
I think it's a ritual. Third place. Look, if...
Because I'm looking at Chelsea. Chelsea should be like nailed on third, Chelsea should be like nailed on third. No matter...
I was looking at Tottenham. Do you get? Because until Chelsea...
Because,
so,
like, the way Chelsea that team is not balanced, their team is not sorted. That's why I said...
So, I was looking at Tottenham because right now... this guy no BM at all. Kai Havertz is not a striker, so I don't blame him. But Timo Werner is like, he does not even want to. Then Chelsea was always saying his confidence would be back, but this is like two seasons now.
But Chelsea has bought Sterling. Chelsea has bought Sterling.
But Sterling is not a natural nine.
No, he's not for nine. He can play in as a false nine and all. He's not complete nine. But all the same. But that's that, yeah. We don't know.
No, I get what you're saying. The thing is, for some reason, this guy, Pep, has found a working design, like a template on how to use non-strikers in false nine position.
Yes.
But I don't know if that is what this guy can do.
Took care what to do.
Yes. I think he was forced to do it last season because Lukaku was not being reasonable, but Kai Havertz is not a poor player. He's not someone that you can say
in the Champions League run last the season they won the Champions League. He wasn't using an out and out striker, so he would put Mount, Werner, and Havertz, or Pulisic, Mount, and Werner like that. So there was no recognized top nine.
Okay, but you cannot overlook the other affecting external factors like honeymoon phase. Now you guys just switched from Lampard to Tuchel, so there's that. Everybody wants to prove something to be on the starting lineup, because I cannot understand the dip that came with you. Get
you know,
and like, I know Chelsea games sometimes, and I actually see like the Newcastle match, that Newcastle match. It had to be someone like of that quality to convert that goal. It was a long pass. He just brought it down and scored. So it's not like he's lacking quality. It's just that for some reason, is not working out for you guys. Maybe
Chelsea's issue isn't creating enough chances. It's actually converting those chances.
Yes, because Pulisic killed you guys last season.
Chelsea would miss at the very least 2-3 big chances. So when you go home, you're not Chelsea lost. You're sad that they actually had chances. You know when a team loses and you're like, we played poorly today. But you are at home and you're see that chance. See, look at Chelsea Liverpool, both FA Cup final and Carabao Cup final. Less misses that would have been
own, and then the Pulisic own. It was sad. It was sad. All you guys needed was, but now, okay, when we look at Sterling, I don't know. But normally, one thing that Sterling does is that he misses simple chances. He's the kind of person that, okay, he gets the ball, he walks to the post, he can score. But this one time, like tapping, I don't know. It's not really being strong suit.
Maybe it's Jazz and Timo Werner. It will work for Chelsea.
If you guys had Giroud, hi, God. If you guys had Giroud, your problem is solved. He can link up and he knows where to stay.
Chelsea had Giroud and Giroud is now in AC Milan. So the thing is, when Giroud is there, because of his style of play, it's different. He will not be able to be created the way his style of play is. You get Timo Werner, for example, no matter the team he plays against, as long as he plays the high line, Timo Werner must torture you.
Getting behind, yes.
He must, but it's that goal scoring finishing that's the issue. Unless there's a player like Havertz, that's where Havertz comes in. Like the Champions League final, if you watch, like if you rewatch it, you know, Champions League final in real time, a lot of emotion. Mm. But watching that goal again, you notice Timo Werner was running already across the defense the other way and dragged away Ruben Dias.
Yes.
Ruben Dias was distracted by him. That was when Havertz was pointing to Mount. Oh yeah, put this ball for me in the middle.
Okay.
So his job as a striker, you understand?
Dragged
away Ruben Dias while Havertz had, you know, straight opening to go in, because there, and then there was no defensive midfielder who probably would have job. He was usually to mop up in the middle.
Bernardino
was not there. Yes. But that's it, shall we should wrap up. Akachiku was disconnected for a bit, at least talking about most of the things we wanted to talk about. So I think it's about time that we wanted to talk
about what Barcelona does for money. I think they are doing Yahoo.
Now, this will be an episode where everybody's full. So that the way we tackled Ronaldo and Manchester United, that's the way we tackled.
That will be next week's episode. Makes sense.
All right, Emily, thanks for being around.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to cook Ronaldo. Good. I must make the place.
All right, it's been a wonderful time. Thank you very much for joining us. Akachiku, was here with us. He stepped out not too long ago. Emily was here as well, and Jamil here as well. Don't forget to spread kindness around wherever you find yourself. Bye for now.